holding over here Uperkaroya, yeah? Uperkaroya Tanrabanan? I think that's what we're up to. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
that's where we are. Yeah. Tanrabanan. Maisa bilazokna shayboba derech shama kol tzvacha. Va'ama muftachan ish einza betech besi. All of us are mishmur ola yira nachon libay betuch pashem. So it says Hillel HaZaken came by and he heard a kol tzvacha and he said, I'm muftach that it's at my house. And the Gemara associates with it mishmur ola yira nachon libay betuch pashem, that this has something to do with Midas HaBitachon. Amar Rava, Haikra Mereisha Seifa Midrash and Seifa Loreisha Midrash. Mereisha Seifa Mishmur La Rola Yira Mishum De Nachon Liboy. Miseifa Loreisha Mishum De Nachon Liboy Batuch Hashem Mishmur La Rola Yira. So he's going to explain, it can't be that somebody who has Bitachon doesn't have anything bad happen to him. I mean, everybody dies. I mean, you know, it's not... So the Maral gives it a very interesting pshat. The Maral says like this: "V'dover zeh ki ashmur ram kashu shemei dover pisaim in yeshu ram v'zeh ein roy l'mishabateach b'ashem sheyishma shmur pisaim b'pam echad." The musig of shmur ram pisaim v'imloy ashmur ram rakoy v'beis ram me'at me'at v'chol dover k'moy zeh nase b'zman. So the Maral is mechalik between two different types of ra. Let's reference back to something that he says in different places. The Maral says in many places that anything that is within the context of zman is something which has in itself is olam hazadik, or like we've explained it probably, the concept of process of cause and effect and so on, that is the heart of teva. Teva means that there's a system and a structure of what causes what and what goes where and so on and so forth. That is something which is in the Teva. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has man contained within a world that is tiviastic, and as such the person's own welfare conforms to the natural process. The Ikrim says, he brings out a pasuk when he speaks about why a person dies. So he brings the pasuk by David. It says by David HaMelech, ki yavoi oyomos b'mochomoy oyovoi yoimoy. I thought there's one more over there where it says there are different. So the Ikrim says that there are different in yonim of there's different in yonim that we can ascribe misa to, and one of them is that a person has a kates, and that's that. Everyone has a predetermined kates like Hashem gave him. There are matzavim in a person's life where he is given, where something special happens, something extraordinary happens, and that's also something where is the it affects the world as such. Could be the last one is chet. I don't remember the type of inyan that is. Those are the inyanim of hashgach, I guess, that is a shayach to this world. So when we take a look and we say to ourselves, how do we interpret someone dying what meaning do we give to it? We can ascribe it to different things, and we can say that the person is he sinned, and that was an extraordinary ashkacha. We can say his man came, and that's that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's it doesn't. Everyone has an inborn time when he that's what he's meant to live on. It's not an einish. And even if the zman that it was predetermined is less than normal, it's not the pshat that something happened and we say to ourselves it was a chet, but that was part of the kates of the person. It's not something which is a could HaKadosh Baruch have made it not be the kates? HaKadosh Baruch can make everything. That's not really the Indian over here. What we're talking is how do we need to be Messiahis to it? And if we need to be Messiahis in it as something which was an extraordinary event, then we're Messiahis it as an extraordinary event. If it's Messiahis in it as something which came because of an intervention, because of chait, that's how to look at it. Here it is. This is the pasuk of these. Vayomer David, Chai Hashem kim Hashem yigafenu, o yomo yavo, v'meis, o v'mlechama yered v'nispa. So we have Hashem yigafenu, yomo yavo, v'mlechama yered. So one is a special hashgacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a specific misa because he deserved it, or it's something that is it's his natural day of death, or even when things happen in this world, big zeris, the person is not able to get out of it. Here he says it. Dekrim is in Dalet Chavala.
Yeah. The extraordinary thing, I mean, it's a negative thing, I'm assuming.
It's negative, but the pshat is, it's not reflecting on the person's own a gzera come on the world. Let me read you, I have the ikrim in front of me. Ve'ele shleishem kitzim akvun l'chay adam. These are the three kates that are shayach to a person. Om adavad al shol, kim Hashem yikfenu, o yom o yavo, o meis, o mocham yered v'nispe. So he says there's krisis, tivis, or mikris. He says, Kashem ikfeno yirmos ala misa krisis, vi misa sa'oinish ala chet. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishment for chet. Yoyma yavo v'meis is the misa tivis, which is his man. And v'mochama yed v'nisva yirmos ala misa mikris amgatzan v'loi itoy v'loi chet koidim, ala mitzara marechas o gzera kolalas. The person was caught up in a gzera bigger than himself. Now, none of this means dafka. None of this means bedafka that it's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't divert or whatever it is, but our perspective is HaKadosh Baruch Hu with three Malkum Nat Bria. Now, what the Maral is saying here is that if a person himself, if a person is a boiteach, it does not take away the misa tivis. Anything that comes mikoyach zman is going to continue, is going to happen to him even if he's a bateach b'Hashem, simply because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that a person is that people are have a predetermined time limit, and even if Chas v'Shalom a person's kates was meant to be not long, but it has nothing to do with what he did. It has to do with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined is the zman that he needs to do whatever he needs to do. So that's certainly so. Anything that by its essence is within nature, within teva, is not going to be affected by bitachon. Something that's pisom means it's an act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu invading, intruding. That is something that Bitachin does prevent. So had this type of, let's say a person as he ages to a normal age, his health begins slowly to erode, and and so on. That's not pisoim ra. That's nothing to do with a lack of bitachon. A lot of bitachon will not change aging. A person has a car, and the car slowly ages and gives way and stops working, and it might be a great expense, but you can't call that. That doesn't fall under the rubric of a lack of bitachon, or bitachon could change it. But when Hillel heard something come pisoim, that he said is something that that wouldn't happen to him because he's a baal bitachon. I don't know, and this is a piece that I'm not clear about. It certainly is eliminating yavo yomo, that I understand very well. But is it eliminating also the? Is it also eliminating something happening like a war, what he calls mikris, or what about something that is a, or is it something that's a type of thing that only is nagia chet? I don't know. I'm not sure. My assumption would be the following. If it's Negea Chet, I could hear an argument it's not Negea the Chet type of thing, because when a person is Chote, there's also like a Ruchnistic erosion. The Gemara says a Lashon by when the Beis HaMikdash was Nechrav, the Gemara says Kamchot Chini Tochen, that Titus ground flour had been ground already. We always see as chet as sort of eroding whatever is there, and when the disaster comes, it's the natural. So just like if termites have been eating up a house, when the house collapses, it has nothing to do with the fact that the wind might have been 10 miles an hour, but it has to do with the fact that the house has been eaten away. So the darga of having erosion could also be part of the Yigov Hashem. That's something that I don't have a clarity as to what he means over here. But his main point is, bitachon is not a panacea. Bitachon comes vis-a-vis the areas of hashkacha. Anytime an area is hashkachadik, bitachon gives it its proper structure, and vice versa. That's what it means of it. So when you heard the Shmuel Pisum, Hillel said, there isn't any disaster that's waiting to happen, not mitzad gash, not ruchnis. Since it's something that's unusual, then it's not that. Al sheishma Shmuel ra, zeksim Shmuel ra v'goyim, opir se bar v'nachuhu.
So, a quick question. I still don't understand why does the Baal Bitachon escape that? The Pitoimis.
So he says the Baal Bitachon is the person who is his shleimus or his schus is vis-a-vis the direct act of Ashkacha. In other words, Bitachon is not just blanket HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do everything. Bitachon is in the area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world, the interaction will be told. So since Teva, the background Teva of La'at La'at is not something HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to interact, it's not something those are not the areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts normally, there's not going to be any Hashkocha in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving you doing anything over there. That's not the Bitachon deals with the arena where HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts. It's not, Bitachon is not a question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's powers. It's a question of those areas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made Hashkocha manifest as the Bitachon. since the laws of nature, the elementary laws of nature, are not laws that are they're not inyanim that are given to the realm of active hashkacha, then there's no avodah bitachon. That's what he's saying. Bitachon relates to the framework of interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and people, and there's a definite framework for that. So if a person is there's no tefillah that we shouldn't age at the age of 90. Even though, is it, could HaKadosh Baruch Hu not make me, I mean, Avraham Avinu looked young, so why can't I look young at 90? But a sudden event is something that can happen. There's a Gemara's Lashon, Mishum Yisurim of Rabbi Mishum Maise Bo or Mishum Maise Holchu. So he says, so B'meila B'tochen focuses specifically on the unusual event, which is a manifest Hashgacha. And that's why you find the Gemara a lot of times, a person shouldn't put himself in Sakana, a certain Matzavim, Sakanas, Hashchiach. Anytime we enter into the natural world of consequences, Bitochen becomes less and less significant, because those are in the world of Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, if we're calling it the world of Teva, it means the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose not to intervene. So the level of Bitochen, the level of Avoda Bitochen, is going to taper off as we get there. Umashama Kakosav Midrash Misefa Loration Misefa Mayrotzebazet Avotzoloima. In other words, a person who seems to be immune to these things, that's because in that framework he has complete bitachon. And so on. Okay, so that's one point. That's the first point that he says over here. Now he goes to the end of the Gemara. The end of the Gemara over there is a tzechem at beis. Omer avuna marav eshav meivach and tanush edor akiva la'olam yadam rogel loyma kol da'av mishmaya letav. So he brings the famous Gemara that a person should always say kom ad rechman al letav of it. Ki hor Rebbe Akiva v'azal ba'urcha, Rebbe Akiva was traveling, he had a chamor, a tarnagol, and a limp. So he came to a town, and he asked, "Could I stay over here overnight?" And they told him, "No, we don't have any room for you." So he said, "Called up the Shmaya top." Ozel bas bedabre came and slept in the field. Osa aria achle lechamre. So a lion ate up his chamor, a shunra ate up his tarnagol, osa ziku kabi the shaga. A wind came and blew out the candles. So he possessed three things, and he struck out three times. Amma Kadosh Shmaya Tavavit. Balayla Geisa came, Shredim came, Shavi Lamasa, they conquered the city. Amulus, they said, Ayn Damri, called Amma Shmaya Tavavit. Very famous Gemara. He's going to explain two things over here. He's going to explain, first of all, why is it that these three things were affected. Why did he lose three things? He lost the chamor, he lost the tarnagol, and he lost the light. And that's one point. And then he's going to, he said that, we'll see that later. And then he also explains about Avod Rachman Latav. Let's take a look at the last four lines in that piece. Well, the Fika Chamra Rakiva Komad Rachman Latav Kloima, Kuboy Teach Bashem Kimashanasa Tav Avid, U Machmas Bitchoinoi by Yisbarach, Nasale Adabu Latoiva Midabashi Rachi. Because he had Bitoch Makarish Baruch Hu, that's why the bad became good. Now, that's his explanation on the bitachon part of it. What we skipped is an explanation on what he did lose, and we'll see that either later or next time. I want to talk about this point, because this point is it seems like a strange point. he's saying over here that it's because he had bitachin, that's why these things became good. So if you really think about it, that's kind of misplaced. The bitachin l'chura is an analysis. If something happens to him, and he says, well, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu was good and nice, it must have been l'toiv. Okay, but it really wasn't l'toiv, but because he had bitachin, it became l'toiv. So what exactly happened? So there was no gzeir before, and then that's why the shaydim came. Does it mean to say that there was this whole event was not supposed to happen, but since he was such a big tzaddik, that's why the whole town was destroyed just to make it lataf? There's something here that's missing. Very, very hard to understand what he means over here. So I want to share something. I recently spoke with somebody, and it gave me a fascinating insight into, I guess, some core of bitachin and what it's about. This is a person who is a bit Torah, a yeshiva person. He has I'm going to try to sketch out the person's issues. Just a certain core of it is very relevant to discussion. This person has I don't say autistic, but that type of personality where he has a hard time picking up social cues. And he's very bright, and therefore he's under constant stress about his standing in society. He has a tremendous need to know things, always figuring are people with him, against him, for him. Constantly keep track of these things. Was married and had not an easy marriage, divorced. Had a lot of difficulties. These are not important, but not an easy person in any sense of the word. And obviously, Shidduchim are not going that well. And a lot of that through his personality. Very, very intense. But more than that, it's sort of very uncomfortable. And he was speaking to me. And I it's hard because really the person needs to really redo his personality. Very, very difficult personality. But we're talking, and he was expressing some of his frustrations, and something had happened now, and the words that he said was, you know, all of a sudden I'm not in control of the situation anymore. And this happens, and that happens, the other thing happens, and I'm not in control of my situation. So all my hard work and everything and all the groundwork I laid and everything I put into it, and you know it all sort of and it didn't work by plan, and just something all left everything, and that really, really threw me for a loop. And all the Hashem said. So for me, it was a very, very insightful discussion, and I told him, I said, I think we actually have a very clear understanding of your issue. I said, bitachin versus non-bitachin is the issue of control. If a person feels that he can be in control of his life and needs to be in control of his life, then his life is going to be Gehenna. Because there is nothing you can do in any area of life where you're in control, because you're not. The only thing a person is in control of is his b'chira. Wherever Kadosh Baruch Hu opened up an opening and said, you have a choice to make and to do something, a person has full control of it. But that's it. And once we learn where we need to be in control and where we need to let go, we now have the correct Havana of bitachon. In other words, bitachon is not that I can't do. It's not that I don't need to do anything. I can just rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do whatever I feel is right for him to do, or even be nice to me. Bitachin is who's the one in control. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, and since I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulay toiv, then the word toiv is also attached to it. And it might be toiv of a scope that I have no shaykhis to understanding it. My neshama comes from a place that needs a tikkun, that this is this, I don't know. And it's futile by definition. If it's coming from a place that I have no access to and I don't begin to understand it, then I won't understand it, and that's that. It's just like if I'm sitting in an airplane and I'm comfortable with the pilot, I don't need to second guess what the pilot is doing. It's either or. Either I think the pilot is reliable, or I better get my affairs in order. My recalculating what the pilot's doing is not doing very much here. There's a tchum that I have that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me bechira, and it can be a very wide tchum. I need to. So let's give an example. Let's say a person has business affairs. He has bechira, and he's supposed to use it. And he's like the Rambam's lashon mechalkel drachav a ma'aseh b'mishpat. So the person does due diligence, thinks it over, does the hishtados that's expected of him. Those are the areas of bechira that he has. Whether it will succeed beyond his wildest dreams, or flop miserably, or just give the average return it's supposed to return, he has no input in that. And he has no control over that. And he doesn't need to have control over that, because that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something that a person has, Rahman al-Tzan, has some illness. So there's a realm of ishtadlus that he has tremendous chiyuvim. He's obligated to find the right shluchim, the right rofim, the follow the directives, figure out who is what's the right mahalach to go and to do it and to follow. But that's it. It ends at that place. Whether he'll live or die is not something that is relevant to him really. And second, a kara that is, and since it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's making that determination, then I can say it's tov. The word tov, if I'm lucky, I understand the Tov Shabo, and if I'm not lucky, then I don't understand Tov, but I know it's part of something bigger. So Bitochin is on that Nekuda. It's not that I don't need to do anything, it's I need to determine what do I need to do and what do I need not to do. And if you need to control, and I was telling you, because if you need to control your relationships with people, I assure you you'll never succeed. There's no such thing. But if you're comfortable that as long as you did what you were supposed to do in an intelligent and wise way, and what Lord Torah said, whatever happens outside of it is not really, it doesn't make a difference. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running it, and there's a base assumption that it's the Toiv, and that's that. That's the Yisoid of Bitochen. And therefore, that's what he means also. And if a person sees it that way, things are good. And even take it down to human relations. The person, the personality type that needs to control the people around him because he wants to be popular, is the most unpopular person. And a person who's at ease and is comfortable and takes other people where they are and doesn't need to have it, people are very comfortable with him and they respond very well to him. And it always becomes like almost a vicious cycle. The person who needs the popularity and is doing so much for the popularity and is driving himself crazy for it is the most unpopular person. The person who needs to know what's going on and is always sort of his ears up like antennas and he's asking and questioning, and every time he sees somebody talking to somebody else, he's got to find his dad, becomes the person you really don't want him in your kishkas. You don't want him. The person that doesn't have that need, and he's, it's fine. If I know about it, it's fine. If I know about it, it's also fine. You don't have a problem confiding and telling it to him about it, and you're positive about it. That's the same mahalak. What he's saying over here is the events, if a person walks into town and he says, these are my possessions and I need to take care of it and so on and so forth, and all of it went down the drain. He had no place to sleep and everything. He lost everything because of it. If he didn't do anything wrong, Rabbi Akiva, but if the person lost control, he has no control of everything, then if he doesn't have bitachon, then he's gone. And he can only see it as ra, because it's me that has to control it, me that has to determine what it is, what it's all about, and I failed, and it's not working. But if the person says I did what I was supposed to do, if no one let me in, then it's no longer my issue, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's issue. So now I'm comfortable with it. Now I do see it part of a bigger picture. I see it as Tov. In other words, I don't think the Pshat in the Maral is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had intended on doing this, and then he turned around Tov because it's Boteach. What the Maral is saying is that a person who is Boteach lives in a world of Tov, and mainly he sees it. The fact that it was Zohar to see the big picture is because he sees it in part of a big picture. Let's take the same example. Let's say we would have lost Chas v'Shalom, we'd be in the same position, and then the robbers come. Unless the president of Yisrael B'Tochen, he would say, well, I'm certainly glad I wasn't in town, but why did I have to lose all the stuff? You know, since if it's not coming from Lamala, it's two separate events. You know, let's take an example. Imagine somebody sells me a lottery ticket. Instead of charging me $1, they charged me $5 for it. And I realized it late. A guy didn't give me back the right change. I gave him a $20 bill, and I bought a lottery ticket for $1, and he gave me back $9, and I realized I've been cheated by $10. So I'm very, very angry. Let's say I win the lottery. So how do I feel about it? So one way of looking at it would be, now to have money, I can get this guy arrested and tried and let him get what he deserves. Another way of looking at it is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mislave of it, that this is where I got the ticket, this is that, and so on and so forth. Hillel's perspective coming from that place was a perspective that allowed him to see it as Toiv. It's only through with the glasses of Bitochen that a person sees it as Toiv. And that's very, very important to understand it. You know, it's really something that it has to do with the perspective. And when the person, it's very interesting, in the conversation with this person, I really understood it. But this person told me, since he doesn't understand what's going on around him, he is missing, you know, the ability to pick up really well on social cues. So he can only work things by nailing them down. Promise me that you'll invite me for Shabbos every other week. You know, his way of dealing with the fact that people are not inviting for Shabbos is by going around and telling people he's upset they're not inviting him, and he must promise him to invite him at least once every week, so on and so forth. You understand that, so what's my reaction? I don't like people controlling my life. I don't like people telling me what to do and giving me orders, so I'll slip out of it. And that's the norm, you know. That's Benadam Chaver. It works like that. And Benadam Lamakom, it's big time. If you feel that you must run everything, then I want to tell you something, a fascinating story. My mother-in-law, Rebbe Finkel, she should be well. Is an Isha Gedola Ma'od. Who's progressively? She's basically not functioning anymore because of Parkinson's. It's slowly, I mean, she's a woman, I've met her best in her 90s, and she's basically just doesn't talk anymore and is kind of very withdrawn, and it's been her problems for many, many years now. When my brother in Nosatsvi was there 2 years ago, she still could talk, she still was somewhat, she interacted, not always, not willingly, but it was more understood as being psychological, in the sense that she lost interest in acting, but still was. When he passed away, they couldn't bear to bring her the news, so they didn't tell her. They posted a big sign on the door where she lives, by my brother, by Kalbach, that nobody should tell her. They didn't let the newspapers in, and she was a woman with very limited motility and this and that. She didn't read much, so she didn't know about it. A few weeks went by, and then finally, after a lot of, you know, many different opinions in the family, you know, as my mother says, I have 5 daughters and 50 opinions, There was a loud voice to tell her, and they sat down and they told her, and there was no reaction. They showed her newspapers, she pushed it away, she didn't want to read it. No one could figure out, was she upset they hadn't told her till then? Was she overwhelmed and she couldn't handle it? It was a mystery, you know, her lack of communication. And she sort of, and that was it. She chose not to communicate, that was it. A few weeks later, there was a girl, she has round the clock people attending her. The girl who was took care of at night noticed she was up and she started talking to her. And she said, Rebbetzin, what's going to be now that Reb Nosson's not around? It's very difficult. So she told her, we do not run the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Reb Nosson into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him. We should be grateful for the years he had. And the people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world till now, he's going to continue running it later. And that was it. She never spoke again about it. Didn't want to refer to anything. You know, they couldn't get her to talk. But that's the idea is the ultimate sense of control. There's a pasuk. We say it in the we say it in the tefillah, which is most powerfully expresses it. It says, we can prepare a heart, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the words in our mouth. So it's very tough because we need to do the ishtadlus in everything we do, from mitzvahs and Torah and chinuch of the kids and business and parnasa and everything we do. Person needs to do it with that sense of achrayus, because wherever the world of bechira is, we are in control. But we're in control only of the decision you make and the implementation of it. That's the doing it, I mean. But we're not in control of the results, and therefore it should not bother us. The results are now Yad Hashem. And therefore, there's no. There was when the Mir Yeshiva went to Shanghai, that famous saga. There are a few things that are not written up so strongly. One of them was that some parts of the Anhalah, Chatzka Levenstein especially, opposed the move very, very vigorously. He felt it was the craziest idea he ever heard. And it certainly was right. It was like saying if we should escape to the moon. The whole thing was cockamamie. It didn't make any sense. When they finally settled into Shanghai and they succeeded, so someone told Reb Chatzkel, you see, we were right. So Reb Chatzkel told him, in Yiddish, there's an expression, anarishkeit, afila zigilink is an achalz anarishkeit. In other words, a foolishness, even if it succeeds, didn't stop being foolish. He said it succeeded not because your ishtadlus was so bright and so intelligent, it was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. It's like if somebody buys a lottery ticket and wins, it's not saying that a lottery ticket is a wise investment. The understanding that the effort and the mental and emotional tension should be undoing. And what happens is Hashem. That's the crux of Bitachon. And therefore, when all the Sfarim speak about, like the Chavos Avos mentioned, that person has Bitachon, sleeps comfortably, is not worried, is not tense. A person has a chiyuv to really, really push, and that's what we hear in this world. Adam lamu yulav. But the result is not our doing, and the result is and the result we all say is that Yad Hashem. We understand that ultimately what Hashem did is Latayiv, and therefore we accept it like that. Okay, we'll do the next piece next week, Mr.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I don't want to answer this today, but is there ever a time when Bitachon is causative? Because I have Bitachon, it turns out good.
Yeah.
It changes.
I'm not sure. First of all, certainly in terms of my understanding and perception, the word good, has many, many ways of looking at it. And let me share a personal story. One of my daughters was you know, the shidduchim were going a bit difficult. And Baruch Hashem, she got married at a young age, but you know, we were here, she was there, and it wasn't easy, and so on and so forth. And we, and a very, very promising shidduch came up. Something we actually interested in. And we sent somebody to Reddit, and we got back word that he had just said yes to a different shidduch. That other shidduch was a very close friend of mine, actually, who really has it all, as they say, in every way possible. He has every mile of taiva, also a very, very comfortable business / Talmud Chacham, and has the ability to support his children's son-in-laws, and they're sitting and learning, and he's a mutzlach in every way possible, very close friends. And as soon as I heard this from that, my heart sank. I said, there's no reason in the world why he's not going to do that shidduch. The family is wonderful, the children are wonderful, and so on. And that was that. And I sort of fell down at the minute. It turned out, A, they didn't get off the ground, that shidduch, because there were issues about where to live. And secondly, I later found out that this boy was not holding a shidduchim at all. And his parents had a shita about what age is appropriate, and that shita was within the framework of Yarek Vayavik. But since that wonderful shidduch had come along, it was so tempting that they said they will break that Yarek Vayavik just for that shidduch. Being that our shidduch sort of came in the wake of it, they said, you know, once we already said yes, let's go to this also, and they'll be it, and the door will close again, and he'll wait for 2 years so that works out. So Baruch Hashem. So when I heard about it, you know, when I heard that they were interested in the other thing, I mean, I was very happy for my friend, but I can't tell you that I didn't feel terribly, terribly frustrated. And you know, why didn't I speak a week earlier today? I, you know, whatever it was, I didn't remember even all the details. But it just, and then I realized, and I think I was fortunate to realize it. It's a bracha that I also understood later, that this was the cause of it and not the possible obstacle. And there are other things that the other way around. Things didn't work out. Many, many, many years later, I'm you know, even though I had Agnes Tav Shas Meister, I realize that, you know what? In the bigger picture, you know, they're just things that within the framework of the picture we have. So the way I understand from all, the bitachon allows you, being that you're living on a darga, when you see it in the biggest sweep, you understand it as my Hashem, it allows you also to relate to it like that, and in that way. So the understanding where the B'tochen comes in is vital in understanding what to expect from it. You know, it's that same way. Like looking at my brother's Patira, you know, one way of looking at it is, the, you know, everything's collapsed in the middle, and what's going to be, and this and that. The other one is, the whole story is not about Hashem. It's all about Hashem Baruch Hu. The whole story is a fantasy story of how and what and when, and it's at the end of the day, it was Hashem Baruch Hu that created something that was, you know, Meis Hashem Hoisa Zois Niflos Beinenu, a boy from Chicago coming in, becoming Adam Gadol, raising funds of an exponential denomination that nobody could imagine, and building up. Yes, he carried the ball, but don't you understand? There's a bigger picture than that, and it's a way. So I don't know. I could also be that if you relate to Hashem with Bitachin, it's Hashem Tzilcha. In other words, Hashem who responds in kind. But the core of Bitachin is that understanding of control, and. I had a chava of mine once. I have a chava who's a very astute, understands people extremely, he's very, very wise. He's a Rebbe in Magzat Torah of Elfenbein, I don't know if any of you know him. And he once commented to somebody else in Mi Yeshiva, and he told him, Reb so-and-so, you know, your problem is that you're not content to shove your shtickle Torah down somebody's throat. You also have to nail his mouth shut that he shouldn't chas v'shalom spit it back. You know, and this person had an issue. He couldn't, you know, it's the same issue with Talmidim and with Chinuch. If you let go And you generally are giving a message that's toif, and it's talmidim that hear the message. They may not follow today or tomorrow, but it'll be mashpia, and they'll turn around in a very positive way. If you have this terrible need to know what's going on and who's in, you know, and who's breaking the rules and what's happening, when there's a statement that I've heard many times that I think is a horrendous statement. You think you can fool me? I know everything that's going on. I think that that statement is a machana that makes that statement deserves an F. First of all, because it's absolutely not true. Secondly, because he has a need to know everything that's going on, because his own ego is threatened if someone gets away with something. The fact that he needs to express it to the Talmud is a statement that his ego is so fragile that unless he sticks out his tongue and thumbs his nose and says, nah, 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 I'm better than you, he's not better. I told somebody once, I really don't know what you're doing, and I need to trust you, that's all. And I'm hoping that you live up to the trust that I'm putting in you, and that's the framework with our relationship. So could he be that he's fooling me? I'm sure, that's natural. But the issue is not whether I'm a fool or not. The issue is, at the end of the day, did the person get my message? And the answer is, if it's the right relationship, of course. And if not, the policing activity got you no place. It maybe allowed you to enforce rules when he's around, but he certainly is not going to pick up the message on it. And that's, it's just the need and the feeling that success is built on control of the situation is a fundamental mistake in many situations. And in the big picture, that's where bitachon and emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus, you know, emunah in yourself is what comes to the fore. Okay, we overdid a bit. Okay, good. So, Emet Hashem, next week, guys, we'll continue.
Yishukah, very nice. Thanks, Rabbi.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
Shabbos.